And so let's be encouraged by the Word of God tonight, my friends. You have your Bibles. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, title of this evening's message, Thy Will Be Done. Thy Will Be Done. Specifically, knowing, recognizing, and keeping God's will. And again, just in the context here, it's easy, at least for myself, you know, when I'm praying to say, to mouth the words, God, you know, Thy will be done. You know, I can say that, we can say that. But to ensure that I'm actually in and actually doing God's will, here are some key truths that I hope would encourage us that we need to understand to actually do God's will and be in God's will. So let's go to Luke chapter 9. I want to see this. And again, it's not perhaps not really intuitive that this is the thrust of the verses here, but certainly a strong application to it. And so let's see if we can dig into what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying and trying to teach and show by example to his disciples, to us. Let's go to Luke chapter 9, verse 18. Luke chapter 9, verse 18. And we know these verses here, but I'm also going to go read verse 21, you know, include that as well. So verse 18 says, And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And then verse 21, And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. Let us pray. Abba, Father, what a blessing to be in thy house, Lord, even this evening. And Father, we thank you for your precious word, Lord, and how true it is that every word, every jot, every tittle is true and preserved for us. We thank you for that we have your precious, precious, beloved word. And so, Father, even now, anoint these lips of clay that I would speak, Father, what you were happy to say. Father, hide me behind the cross, Father, that we truly be encouraged and instructed from your word. That truly thy will be done. Help us to know, to recognize, to keep, be ready to do your will, to be in your will, and to continue to stay in your will. And Father, help us, Lord, to be mindful of the testimony of those that have gone before us. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, even now, help our hearts to be open to your word, and we give you all the praise and glory. And truly, Father, your will be done, even tonight in the service. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, Amen. Praise the Lord. Now this is pretty interesting here, and perhaps you've encountered it and maybe considered it. I know I have, as you're reading the gospel accounts at different occasions. You know, Jesus is revealed to be the Christ, okay, the Son of God. And then, again, just as a candid observation, it seems almost counterintuitive, because Jesus would say, okay, you know that I'm the Christ, you know that I'm the Son of God. Now keep it down. Okay? Don't tell anyone. And I used to think, boy, why? What's the deal? Because the whole point today, we have to tell everyone that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have to tell everyone that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. So what is going on here? You know, because oftentimes, in fact, we're going to look through the different instances Jesus does tell people not to let others know that he's the Christ. And so, but I want to put the context on this here. You know, the disciples, certainly Jesus, verse 18 to 20, ask them, no, who do you say that I am? Not what others say. Who do you say? And so certainly the disciples knew who Jesus was. Amen. That's wonderful. They knew the identity of Jesus Christ. But as we're going to see here, as it unfolds in verse 21 and then the rest of the chapter, they knew who Jesus was, but they did not quite understand God's will. Okay? And I share this because I can myself relate to this, because the idea is, yes, we can be saved. And we can know God as a as our Father, and we're a child of God. But just because we're saved and we know God doesn't mean we automatically understand God's will, right? You take any parenting scenario, right? It's not uncommon for children to not know the parents' will, right? In fact, oftentimes maybe kids, little kids, okay, oftentimes do contrary to what the parents want, right? And say, be quiet, or no, you're loud. Okay, whatever the case, okay, I'm just tongue-in-cheek here. Okay, but the idea is the more mature the child becomes, the more the child grows and matures, the more that their actions mirror the will of their parents. Amen? Well, Lord willing. So that's the whole point. So Jesus knew the disciples didn't know God's will. Okay, that's why he tells them. He wants them to be ready for it. Now, Jesus himself knows the Father's will, but we'll see here some examples where Jesus deliberately takes steps to keep the Father's will. Okay, so let's go to verse 21. This is kind of where I wanted to kind of focus on here. Verse 21. Now, Jesus, he says he straightly charged them. So no uncertainty here. Okay, this is a very specific command. And commanded them. Okay, I mean, so this is, there's no... what do you mean by that? No, it's very clear. He's saying, tell no man that thing. What thing? That Jesus, in verse 20, is the Christ of God. Okay, don't tell anyone. So Peter knew it, and Jesus was happy that Peter and the disciples got it, but he tells them, don't tell anyone. And now why? Look at verse 22, okay? Because verse 21 and verse 22, this is why Jesus doesn't want the disciples to tell others. Not yet. Not yet, anyway, right? Because look at God's will. This is God's will. The disciples did not get this. In fact, they only got this after Jesus rose from the dead, right? They didn't get it up until he came back. And so look at verse 22. So this is God's will saying, the Son of Man, now Jesus obviously is talking about himself. The disciples know he's talking about himself because they know that he is the Christ of God in verse 20. So Jesus is telling them, hey, me, the Son of Man, must, not just maybe, not just on a down day, not just, you know, 50-50 chance. No, he must. This is God's will that this happens. Must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes. And we know this is all going to happen when they arrest Jesus and all that and his mockery of a trial, right? We know this is going to happen. And be slain. That's this, of course, his crucifixion. And notice that word, the A-N-D, it's and. It's not but. It's and. Be raised the third day. And so verse 22, Jesus is telling them, this is the will of God. Yes, I'm the Christ, okay? But God wants me to be arrested, to be mocked, to be tortured, to be scourged, to be humiliated, to be crucified, to die. And it's not but, meaning it's not as though, you know, God is going to mess up or they're going to get one up on Jesus. Okay, Jesus willingly laid his life down. It's part of the plan. And as part of that, he is going to rise from the dead. It's not as though, but thankfully he'll rise. No, it's and. So it's part of the plan. So it's always been part of the plan. And this is huge because, you know, this is God's plan for salvation for all mankind. This is the work that Jesus came to finish. Verse 22 is part of his mission. When Jesus hung on the cross and he said, it is finished, that's him fulfilling this. Okay, so I need us, you know, to understand this. By the way, Jesus wants to keep this low profile. Here's the reason why. There was a lot of excitement building around Jesus and the people that he ministered to that did miracles for. And in fact, this, when Jesus says in verse 22 here, this is still about 6 months out. Okay, Passover was still 6 months out. But even then, the people with Jesus, even at that time, right now, were willing and, in fact, greatly desiring to crown him king there and there, right now. Okay, and if they would have done that, Jesus would not have been crucified. Okay, they were ready to, hey, let's just make him king right now. His son of David, fulfilling prophecy, and let's kick out, you know, Caesar. We'll start with Pilate first. March into Jerusalem, let's take over. Rebellion, right? They're thinking, viva la revolution, right? And so Jesus is going to lead the way. And so the disciples are all pumped up, even John the Baptist, right? This was his mindset that Jesus is going to come as a conquering king. Now we know, because we have the completed word of God, that's not going to happen until the second coming of Jesus Christ. But I want us to understand the context here, because Jesus tells them here that he's going to be crucified, but it fell on deaf ears, okay? In fact, if you go to verse... let's go to John chapter 6 real quick. John chapter 6. In fact, even a year ago, and so this is 6 months from the Passover, but even, you know, even a year before Jesus gets crucified, look at this, John chapter 6. This is at the Passover before Jesus was crucified. John 6, let's go to verse 4. I want us to observe this. John 6, verse 4. Look, notice what it says here. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was soon coming. Now, this is the Passover a year before Jesus was crucified as our Passover lamb. And look at verse 15. So even back then, in verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king, to make him a king. So they were been waiting so long for their Messiah, for their king, the Savior. They're like, oh, they couldn't take it no more. let's just... you know, give him a coronation right now. So he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And so it's amazing. And he knew that. And so he kind of snuck away, kind of bowed out and hid. And you can just imagine people going, hey, where's Jesus? Oh man, I was just about to bow down or whatever the case is, and they wanted to make him king right there and then. Now this is huge because, let's go back to Luke chapter 9. I want to share a couple more things from context here. Let's go back to Luke chapter 9, and then verse 43, because I'm going to skip forward to verse 43. Luke chapter 9, verse 43. Again, the disciples could not understand where Jesus was coming from, which, to be honest, I would have been caught up as well and not seen it myself in the flesh. But look at verse 43. It says, and they were all amazed at the mighty power of God, because Jesus is doing miracles. You read the verses before, he did more and more miracles. But while they wondered, everyone at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples. So again, see this. After Jesus tells him in verse 21 he's going to get crucified, he does more miracles, he casts out spirits. I mean, that's great. He heals people. Everyone is awestruck. And then Jesus again tells specifically his disciples, who know that he's the Christ, right? He tells them in verse 44, let these sayings sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be, this is prophecy, guys, delivered into the hands of men. I will be arrested. I will be crucified. Look at verse 45. But they understood not this saying, that it was hid from them, that they perceive it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. They didn't quite grasp that. In fact, verse 46. In fact, the disciples were so, they didn't quite, not even close. And so when Jesus was finally arrested and crucified, they were stunned, right? Shell-shocked. In fact, they had, even though he told them repeatedly, all they were concerned about was who's going to be his number two when he takes over Pilate, right? And so look at verse 46. Then there arose a reasoning among themselves, which of them should be greatest. And so they're just concerned about, hey, I mean, they're already kind of celebrating. That's the mindset, that we're going to storm Jerusalem, we're going to take over Caesar, and we're going to rule, you know, and the kingdom on earth, God's kingdom is now, that's great. Who's going to be number two? And so that's kind of what they're thinking. They're thinking way ahead, okay? Now, this leads us to my first truth. The point number one is this. Don't let circumstances dictate God's will to us. Number one, don't let circumstances dictate God's will to us. The idea is everything was going so well, the disciples and literally everyone else could not possibly fathom that Jesus was going to be crucified. They couldn't wrap their mind around that, okay? Things are going so well for Jesus and his disciples, yet the worst was yet to come. Okay, things were completely going to shift 180, okay? But the idea is things in their life, everything seems to be humming, and so they're all skipping along, they're excited, hey, this is going to be great, we're going to get the millennial reign, you know, and so they were all excited for that. But they were not aware that they were going to lose Jesus. In fact, that's what makes the story of Mary of Bethany such a tender thing with the alabaster box of ointment. She was one of the few disciples that knew Jesus was actually going to die and leave them. Everyone else didn't quite get it. Martha didn't get it, but Mary got it. And that's why she spent every single time that she could with Jesus. Whenever Jesus was there, she anointed him and all that for the burial. The rest of the disciples did not get it, right? They said, hey, just sell it and give it to the poor or whatever the case. And so most of the disciples did not understand Jesus was going to go. And the idea is in discerning the will of God. It was not yet Jesus' time to be crowned king. It's not yet his time. He is the king. But it's not yet God's time for him to be crowned king. This does not happen till Revelation 19, right? This doesn't happen the millennial reign that's ushered in Revelation 19. In fact, if you look at Acts, when the disciples ask him, let's turn there. I was going to quote that, but let's just turn there. Again, there's so much that they did not know. That Jesus did, but there's so much that they did not know concerning God's will and timing. But let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Notice this. It says, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Now? How about now, Lord? Huh? How about now? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now he said, no, not now. And of course he ascended out of their sight. But in fact, there was so much more, i.e. the church age, which we're still in today, which was part of God's plan. There was so much more that no one realized. And so the idea is, now, number one, don't let circumstances dictate God's will to us. And so just because things are going well circumstantially, that does not mean don't use that to validate God's will in your life. At the end of the day, we need, and this is point number two, we can only determine God's will in our life by the Word of God. Okay? Not outside circumstances. We can only determine God's will for us by, number two, God's Word. We can only know God's will for us by knowing God's Word. That is how the Lord Jesus Christ knew God's will for him, right? Because it is written. Jesus Christ, of course, he is a living Word. I get it. But he knew, of course, the Word of God. And the prophecy, which all the other disciples miss, right? They didn't get it. But Jesus knew the prophecy, it is written, that he had to be the suffering Savior, the Savior of Isaiah 53. He had to be forsaken. He had to suffer. He had to die as the lamb that's dumb before his shearer. I mean, that was the prophecy that Jesus knew he had to fulfill. So Jesus knew God's will, the Father's will in his life, because he knew the Word of God. Same goes for us. We can only know God's will for us by knowing the Word of God. That's truth number two. So know God's Word. We have to know God's Word. But that's not all. Truth number three, God's will always includes God's timing. Timing is huge, because even though it's the quote-unquote right thing to be done, if it's the wrong time, it's still not God's will, at least not yet, okay? Yes, Jesus was to be crowned king. That's not wrong. But if it's not yet, it's still wrong. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Okay, and so this was, in fact, Jesus' temptation by Satan. Satan tempted Jesus to be crowned king over earth right then and then, right? In Matthew 4, right then and then at the temptation of Christ, without having to suffer at the cross. This was Satan's temptation to Jesus Christ. Become king right now. We'll cut to the end. You don't have to be mocked. No scourging, Jesus. No mocking, no crucifixion, no pain, no suffering. Just get crowned king. That's what God has planned. That's what's written. Might as well do that. But it wasn't God's timing. In fact, Satan was tempting Jesus. No getting forsaken by the Father. In fact, Jesus, you forsake the Father. Don't let him forsake you. You forsake the Father. Again, and so just because something is the actual thing is God's will, yes, but if it's the wrong timing, that's not God's will either, because truth number three, God's will includes God's timing. Timing all matters. But that's also not all, because Jesus, if you notice here, this is going to lead up to point number four. Jesus, over and over again, intentionally keeps a low profile so not to tempt God's will with his too early coronation as king. Jesus constantly went out of his way, as he does in our opening verses here. Jesus constantly went out of his way to ensure that he kept God's will, i.e. he kept telling the people he ministered to, don't tell anyone that I'm the Christ. Because if the word kind of gets out too much before time, people would take him by force, crown him king, which is not part of God's plan yet, and then he won't be crucified. And he came to die. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. The reason why Jesus came was, you shall call his name Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins, okay, through his crucifixion and then his resurrection. So Jesus didn't come his first time to be crowned king. That was not the plan. And if you blurt the word out too much, okay, which people did anyway, okay, but if you blurt it out too much, they're going to make him king, which is not God's plan. Not yet. That's not till his second coming. So God's timing certainly is part of God's will. Okay, so this is huge. Just some references for us. Don't have to turn there. I have it kind of summarized here. But Jesus told a man he healed of leprosy. Matthew 8:4. He said, see thou tell no man. After he healed him from leprosy. But go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Jesus told Peter, James, and John when they came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew 17:9 says, Jesus charged them saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Then you can tell him Jesus is God. That's what, you know, he's shown in his glory, right? Only those three got to see it, And he told them, don't tell anyone about it till after. Not even the other disciples, right? Hopefully they assumed that they were true to that. Can you imagine who was left out? Peter, James, and John, they saw it. Andrew. Andrew's the fourth guy. Sometimes he's along in the circle, sometimes he's not. Can you imagine Andrew asking, hey, Peter, so what'd you see up there? I can't tell you. what'd you see on the mountain? I'll tell you later. And he couldn't tell him. That was what Jesus commanded. Jesus told the people when he healed the deaf man with the speech impediment. You know, remember he said, what was it, Ephrata, to be open. When he did that, he said in Mark 7, verse 36, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. I mean, that's on them, okay? But Jesus did as best as he could to tell them not to tell it, to tell others. Jesus told Jairus, remember the ruler of the synagogue, and his wife, after he raised his daughter from the dead, Luke 8, 56, he says, and her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Don't tell anyone what happened. Jesus even told unclean spirits, right, not to reveal him. Luke 4, 41, and the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. I mean, this is huge. Now, what does this mean? Now, think about this a bit. Now, it was not God's specific plan, per se, that Jesus tell others not to reveal him. Okay? There's no quote-unquote prophecy that Jesus as the Savior would charge people not to tell others that he's the Christ. I mean, you don't find that prophecy that he would kind of go incognito. Okay, there's no prophecy like that per se. So there's no commandment for Jesus as the Messiah to tell people not to tell others that he's the Christ. But we also know that everything that Jesus did always aligned with the will of the Father, right? John 8:29 tells us, Jesus says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do what? Always those things that please him. So we know that Jesus always did what pleased the Father. We know that Jesus always did the will of the Father. So, this is an amazing truth number four here. Any smaller thing that we do that aligns with the larger scope of God's will for us is also God's will. All right? We know what Jesus did is God's will. He always did God's will. And even though there weren't any specific prophecies that Jesus had to fulfill to tell others not to tell others about him, he still did it in fulfilling God's larger will that he has to die. So the idea here is this, again, any smaller thing that we do that aligns in the larger scope of God's will for us is also part of God's will. Now, this is wonderful because this is how we can assuredly live every facet of our life, knowing that we are living in God's perfect will when we are specifically living according to God's principles. It might not say in the Bible, what car I should buy, but it does say in the Bible that I need to be wise and a good steward of what God has entrusted me, right? It does tell me in the Bible principles that I can make every decision in my life. Day to day, to the big ones, okay, from, again, buying a car, to getting a job, to witnessing to someone, carrying out ministry, conducting our daily affairs. Everything that we do and face in life, the principles are outlined in the scriptures, but we got to know it. Again, know God's will by knowing God's word. When we know God's word, even the smaller things, if they align and lead to us fulfilling the principles in the scripture, then we can be assured in our liberty that we are doing what God wants us to do. So we don't have to second guess ourselves, like, oh, am I doing God's will? Am I not? Does he want me to go here? Does he want to go there? You know, when you have that assurance, it is a wonderful thing. And so we know, again, from Jesus' example, when he told others, hey, don't tell others what you know, that I'm the Christ. Again, because that would interfere with his crucifixion, because he must be crucified. That was God's plan, and he knew it because he knew the word. And so when we know the scriptures, well, think about it this way. Let's go back to Luke chapter 9, because Jesus shared about his fate, and the context is because us as believers, we follow in his footsteps. So this is huge. And so let's go back to Luke chapter 9, verse 22, right? He tells them he's going to be crucified, but he will rise the third day. And then he segues to verse 23, because now knowing this is what's going to happen to Jesus, us as followers. And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is the context. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. This is huge. Because Jesus wanted the disciples to know that, hey, guys, I know you're kind of getting ahead of ourselves here. Okay, we're only in Luke chapter 9. You guys are living like it's Revelation 19. Okay, that's not going to happen yet. You guys are kind of celebrating. But before the celebration, you guys are going to be persecuted to the ends of the earth. But just like me, I yielded my life. This was God's will for me. So do you. So send I you. I mean, this is huge because that fast forwards, that brings us up to where we are today. And so understanding God's will in our life. Okay, so summary number one, truth number one in discerning God's will for you and I, God's individual will for us. Number one, truth number one, don't let circumstances dictate God's will to us. Don't just say, well, it's a sunny day today, so I guess God wants. No, don't do that. It's not from outside circumstances. It's from truth number two. The only way we can know God's will for us is by knowing the word of God. Truth number three, God's will always includes God's timing. And then truth number four, the smaller things, the day-to-day things that do align with the larger scope of God's will is also, you know, is also part of God's will for us. Okay, so that's how we know. And so that's I hope this would encourage us. Again, Jesus took deliberate steps to make sure that he didn't even tempt God's will to not happen. Okay? He knew he had to be crucified. He could tell the crowd is, oh man, I better duck out here because they're going to take me by force and crown me king. That's not, in, you know, even though it sounds good, that wasn't part of God's plan, not yet. Because God's plan includes God's timing. And so with that said, let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what an encouragement, Lord, from your word. And Father, that we can take comfort in knowing that our will is revealed in your word. And so help us to study your word, to know your word, and then apply your word, that we can be recognizing your will in our life, ready for it and keeping it. And Father, we thank you so much for the liberty you've given us to execute your word according to your time. And so, Father, help us to just trust in you in all things, that every decision we make, Father, we know that there's a principle in the scripture that guides our thought process. Father, that we make deliberate actions to ensure that we don't tempt your will, to go against your will, that we comply with your will through your word. And Father, we ask even now, you bless the prayer time to come, that you be glorified in all that is said and done. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Praise the Lord.